like to welcome everyone here this morning. We do have a good number. We want to welcome our visitors for certain. You are our honored guests, and we certainly do appreciate you being here. It is such an encouragement to us to have you in our midst, and we hope that you will be just as encouraged by being here this morning. I would like to ask if you have your Bibles with you to open them to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. This is where we're going to start our lesson this morning. We see at this point in time, the children of Israel have been freed. They are in the wilderness, of course. They seem to be understanding what God has done for them. They seem to be very happy with what's happened to this point. However, we see that God is now trying to deliver to them the messages of what He expects of His people. God is going to be giving to them, He's kind of already passed along to them some of the law. He's called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and lo and behold, down below, people grow weary. They come to a conclusion that, well, He's gone up the mountain. We don't know if He's ever going to come back. And so we kind of pick it up right here in Exodus chapter 32, where it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him.' And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.' Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go get down, for your people whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation.'" God was not in the least bit pleased with what happened here. For all He had done, and as you continue to study on through the Holy Scriptures, the one thing that you continually see when God is trying to bring His people back, try to get them to understand why they should be back, it's the messengers that continue to bring back to their memory all of the things that happened prior to this. And that is to bring them back, to say, "Look at what He's done for you." And how quickly the people got off track. God was not at all happy at this point in time. I think there is one very clear lesson that we can take at this point right now from that reading. That here God is having a meeting and He's discussing a lot of important things, but yet He saw exactly what was going on down there in the camp. So if we ever think that we're hidden to God, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. He sees everything, right down to the details. Well, in verse 11, Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've spoken I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from his harm, which he said he would do to his people. So we see another key element right here, that through this conversation, the relationship between Moses and God was something different. Something that he was able to get God to reconsider what he was about to do. Shall I ask, what's the lesson to us at this point? The lesson is that our prayers to God can be of great impact. He does hear. He does listen. Don't ever forget that. First two lessons of the day, don't forget either one of those, because they're vitally important to our daily life. But what we see that comes after this is picking up in verse 15. Moses turned and he went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them on the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made, he burned it in the fire and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water, and he made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you to have you brought to such a great sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, they that are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that should go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side, go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. The title of this morning's lesson is How My Sins Affect Others. We can see a very clear example of how Aaron's sin had a tremendous effect on a whole group of people. I believe this is a perfect example of how one's sins can affect others. Today, what we hear quite often is this: it's my life. I can do with myself what I want to do. I can do with my body what I want to do. I can do with myself what I want to do. I can do anything I want to do because it's my life. You've probably heard this a number of times when you've tried to study with someone, when you've tried to teach someone right from wrong, good from evil. Perhaps maybe you've even said this a time or two in your life. I know I did. I know I did a number of times when my parents were trying to talk to me about things. I know I did when there were those who were trying to teach me as I was searching for what was true and the truth of God, where I sometimes thought the same thing when they would tell me, well, here's what you need to do. You need to sacrifice this and that. You need to be this way or that way. And I'd say, wait a minute. God created me. He gave me this life. But you come to the understanding that we don't live on an island. You don't live all by yourself. And our life is full of cause and effect. What one thing happens can affect a whole lot of other people. Just as it was with Aaron's sin, we too have to be so conscientious of the effects and consequences that we may bring upon ourselves that will affect so many others. Today, we live in a society that so many try to hide behind the scriptures as they're too hard to understand. I don't quite get it. But you know, even in this same book, in Exodus, you could turn back to Exodus chapter 20. And I don't know that this was a very difficult one, because here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And here he lists all those 10 commandments. The first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, how hard was that to understand? The second one, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. I think those first two fell right under what Aaron did. That wasn't hard at all. Interestingly enough, that folks try to use the scriptures in two ways. First, they're too hard to understand. And second, when they're silent, that condones behavior. If they're silent and don't speak directly on something, then I have liberty. Oh, so good it's going to be when Brother Matt gets to Romans 14. And begins to talk a bit about this idea of our freedoms and liberties. Because so many people get these things confused and say, well, if it doesn't speak upon it, then I'm good to go. However, because of the sin this day that we were reading about back in Exodus, when Aaron built the golden calf to worship, we saw about 3,000 men fall that day. And lo and behold, how it was that he says, well, he tells Moses, well, you know, I just kind of put this out there and poof, here comes this calf. It just kind of popped out. But the scriptures prior to that says he took a fashioning tool and he made this structure, this piece, so to speak. There was thought that went behind it. And we see that God put the blame upon him. He was the one who was supposed to be in control. He was the one who was supposed to be in charge. He was a leader at that point in time. Of the commandments that were given there, interestingly, 6 are related to how people were to treat one another. And 4 were specific to the relationship with God. And he broke 2 of those 4. That fast. So, how do our sins affect others? Because I think we've got a good biblical example. And you know, time is constraining. But we could have gone through and found multiple examples that could show us what we're talking about here this morning. But the sins of people, and I'm talking about the sins that are committed by even those in the body of Christ, perhaps, maybe even time to time, right here in this congregation. They have a tremendous effect on others. And we can never forget that. The effect we have on others. Most times when sin occurs, others are not even on the mind of the one who's committing the sin. They don't even think twice about it. Why? Because they go back to that first line that we looked at. It says, it's my life. Or it's something I want to do. It's something I need to do. And so we work through it. We rationalize it. We think it all the way through. And we've got this plan and we step into action, never thinking about the ramifications that everyone else is going to feel. More times than not, the only one that the sinner is thinking about is himself. That's it. And as the Holy Scriptures teach us, to be a servant of God, to be a child of God, means that we are to serve others. We're always to be looking out for the benefit of others. Always. We are not to be at the top of that list. So let's look and break down some of the sins of man. And this, of course, is a very short list, but I think it will get the message across, and certainly it will help our understanding. And perhaps maybe a one or two of the examples will reside in our minds throughout the week and maybe through our life, to where we will know better than to act upon some of the thoughts that we may have. The first one, alcohol or drug use. And we say, well, you know, that's me. I'm going to take care of this. It's my body. I can do what I want. I can handle my liquor. I can have a few. I can do a couple. You know, the Bible says don't be drunk. So I can have a few. That's what people say. I can have a few. I enjoyed listening and watching an interview with our president-elect, because people have been trying to say that he's kind of wild and crazy and he's kind of out there and he hangs out in the bars and he hangs out like that. Well, he's never had a drink of alcohol in his life. And he said something just recently in an interview, and they says, well, you know, about this, his brother and this relationship with his brother brought it to this point. But he says, if you never take that first drink, you never have to worry about being drunk. And that's a fact. If you never take that first one, you don't have to worry. The Bible talks about all kinds of other things, being sober-minded, being this, being that, all kinds of other things. But people will say, well, but I want to do this, so let me work it this way. And the Bible doesn't say specifics. And it certainly doesn't talk about drugs. However, it does say things like this. If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 16. When it is written, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? We could stop right there. However, he continues on. He says, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. But if you put it in that consideration, if this is the temple of God, then what connection is there between God and idols? How can I put idols in this place and expect it to be a resident place for God? We should be taking care of this temple in a numerous amount of ways. Oh, here comes that ugly word again, exercise. Here comes that other ugly word, doctors. They tell you to watch your cholesterol. We should probably watch our cholesterol. They say watch your blood pressure. Do things about your... Well, you should probably take care of that. Yes, we should be taking care of our bodies. But think about this. We talk about the alcohol and drugs. Who does it affect? If someone's going to go ahead and partake, who does it affect? Well, I might suggest to you, how about when they get behind that wheel of that car? Now who does it affect? When they decide to allow their inhibitions to run wild, who does that affect? Perhaps when they get caught with drugs. Maybe they were going with some friends over to Canada, and they were going through the booth there. And they says, oh, you got anything you want to claim? Oh, no, nothing at all. They look a little nervous. I pull them right over, find drugs in the car. Who now is affected by that? Oh, it's everyone in that car. So my sins certainly affect others. What about lying? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore put away lying. Each one of you speak truth to one another. Have you ever been lied to? How does that make you feel? Oh, I just lie. I just say a little untruth. Just say a few little things. Well, who does that bother? That just helps me to get out of trouble. It helps me to stay in a good place. People aren't going to bother me when I lie a little bit. When a teacher says, I love this group of the young ones out here. When a teacher says, did you get your homework done? Well, no, I didn't get it done, Miss So-and-so. I didn't quite get it done because you know what? My dog ate my homework. Find out we never did our homework. Who's affected by that? You know what? I've been in classes where the whole class has been affected by some who don't bring their homework in. I've been in a classroom where everyone got in trouble because somebody said something and nobody would say about it. Everybody was going to hold their peace. Well, when somebody asks you if you knew who did it, and you say, you're lying, and everyone gets affected. What about gossip? Who gets hurt during gossip? It's the one being talked about most of the time, is it not? Isn't that the basis a lot of times for gossip? I got information. I got to tell you, it's good information. And most of the time, it's more of a negative connotation. The lust of the flesh, fornication and adultery. Who gets affected when a husband and a wife, one decides to go out on the other? Who's affected by that? There's a whole bunch of people that's affected by that, especially if there's a family with children involved. Everyone is affected. And not only that, but you could be in a setting with a group of friends. Who gets this friend? Who gets that friend? It's not only just the family, but then it's everybody else. Stealing small items, up to expensive items. It could be the smallest thing in the world. And to you, you might say, well, you know, I'm going to take this $100 something or another from this place. They got deep pockets. It's not going to affect them at all. But it does. Why do you think we pay so much for goods today? Because there's a built-in loss. Because they know there's going to be loss of inventories. What about pornography? Oh, the things you can find out if you read a little bit about this, who's affected and how people are affected by someone who engages in this type of behavior. The strain and stress it puts on a relationship. How a spouse will feel when the other spouse is engaging in something such as this. How the secrets that have to be out there, and so it affects everyone when you're around family and friends. Yes, everyone is affected by the sins of others. Homosexuality, that's another one. In Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, I mean, here's one that, again, it should be very simple, but people find it very difficult. In Leviticus chapter 18, it's basically a chapter full of laws of sexual morality. And I mean, if you go through and read this, you would be quite aware of what God expects from His children. But in verse 22, it says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. It's the same abomination as the next verse, you shall not mate with any animal to defile yourself. I mean, it's very clear. Leviticus chapter 20 at verse 13. Again, you could read that one. Deuteronomy. Go to Romans. You can turn into Romans as well. Romans chapter 1, towards the latter part. It's a whole bunch of scripture verses about that very thing. I mean, there are some that I will grant, not as clear as others, but there are some that are very clear. False teaching. It's another one. Who gets hurt and damaged by false teaching? Everyone who's following the false teacher. And sadly, as I mentioned, sometimes it is not even something that has been considered that I'm going to be hurting others. And sometimes it could even be by accident sometimes. But these, I think, are pretty clear. A false teacher is going to be teaching falsely about the doctrine of God and taking a whole bunch of people down a path they did not expect they were going to be going down. Yes, not practicing brotherly love can and will hurt some past the point of them ever entertaining the idea of coming to Christ. Folks, there's great damage in sin. It can be great. As referenced earlier today in the adult class, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. And because of this gift, the second part of this verse, so many believe that it's my sin is just temporary. Or because of this, I have nothing to worry about because the gift of God is eternal life. And I know that no matter what I do, I can be forgiven. And so that will prompt the action many times. Oh, it's something I want to do. It's something I really need to do. But it's not quite right. And so we take some time and we rationalize it in our head. We make it right in our head. And then the last piece is, I can always ask for forgiveness later. I can always ask for that forgiveness later. We know that the blood of Christ will wash away our sins. So we minimize the sin. This is not a safe thing to do. Let me ask you this. If the last trumpet were to sound, Romans 6:23 tells us very clearly that the wages of sin is death. And others can be damaged for a long period of time, maybe even for life. Folks, we need to think about these things now. We need to think about these things now before temptation brings itself to you. Because once temptation arrives, it's many times too late to make the right decision. Thinking and caring for others is at the foundation of Christianity. The effects of our sin on others, well, it's certainly something that we need to consider. We need to consider each time the thought pops in our head that this is my life. Whenever we begin to think of it that way, we need to begin to consider everyone else. Because ultimately, if you have already chosen to become a child of God, your life no longer is your life. You've made that covenant with God that you have now given your life to Him. And He is now in charge. And so we should follow the commandments and the directives that He gives to us. Plain and simple. Well, I certainly do appreciate your kind attention this morning. And as we do, as we close every morning service, evening service, and anytime we gather together, the Lord's invitation is extended to any and all for whatever your needs may be. perhaps there was something that was said today that maybe it's kind of grabbed hold of you and you say, you know what, I need to make some changes in my life. Well, first of all, go to your Heavenly Father and ask Him for forgiveness. That's the first thing to do. But then after that, if there's anything we can do to assist you, whether it's prayers, encouragement, to assist you just by giving you our time, whatever your need may be, we, as a body, are willing and able and want to help. So, whatever your need is, let us know. And how do you do that? Well, by coming to the front right now as we stand and as we sing.